This is David Walton speaking to my father, David Walton Sr., on Saturday, April 6th, 1985. We're sitting in my house in Kemmer, Wyoming. It's a beautiful spring day in Kemmer, and the sun is very bright. Can you tell me where you were born and where?
I was born in March 22nd, 1940 in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Was that in the hospital or was that home?
It was in the hospital. Okay.
Why did your family come to Salt Lake City?
My folks was raised in Salt Lake City. Their folks came with the Mormon pioneers.
Okay. What was your first impression or first memories of this city?
Well, I was born and raised there.
What did your family use for transportation?
In my day, they was using automobiles.
Was there any or plumbing in your house at the time?
Not at the time. We never had indoor plumbing as such until around 1942, 43, somewhere in there.
Where did you live in the town? What was life like in that neighborhood?
Where I lived used to be in the country. It's in the city now. It was down around 33rd South in West Temple and South Salt Lake.
Were there any types of natural disasters when you were a kid, if you remember?
The nearest thing to natural disaster was the winter of 48 and 49, I believe it was, when they had overabundance of snow. Everything was shut down.
Did any epidemics hit the town?
Not that I know of.
Where and who did anyone go to for medical help?
Well, back in those days, doctors, they used to come to the house. If you could go to the doctor's office, then you went to his office, but doctors were still making house calls back when I was younger.
What types of remedies did these doctors use?
When I was younger, they were still more modern type remedies. However, I remember there used to be a remedy called Hall's Remedy for, I believe it was for cold sores and just general stuff. It was a Salt Lake manufactured remedy. What it contained, I don't know. I think there was probably a lot of cocaine in it. A lot of your drugs and cough syrups and stuff contain cocaine.
Do you remember the name of your doctor?
Yes, his name was Dr. Sunwall.
How good of a doctor was he?
I guess he was as good as could be expected at that point in time. He made house calls and all that stuff.
Were there any holidays that, like, the whole town celebrated?
There was some things that the biggest part of the community celebrated, like Lions Clubs and things like that were just getting originated, and they had celebrations. A big one was Halloween that I remember, and then of course Christmas parties and stuff like that always were a community celebration.
Do you remember the different ethnics that lived around the town? Did they live by you, or did they live on separate places in town?
Where I lived, we all lived around one another. We had some Hispanics, and we had a family of Orientals there that I attended school with. There was, I don't remember any Negroes living in the neighborhood or Blacks. You know, it was in the same area. However, up in the mining communities of Bingham, where I went occasionally. They was in separate areas in that area around Bingham Canyon. In fact, it was called Jap Town and stuff like that. That was the name of the town.
How well did they mix with the other town people? Were they accepted in the town?
I believe it is all accepted, except they pretty much stayed, you know, to their own communities.
Did they do the same jobs as the other people?
In that area, they all worked for Kennecott Copper.
Did children of the different ethnic groups, religions, races play together and mix or even marry where you live?
Yes, they did.
Can you remember what kind of games you played as a child?
A lot of baseball. Baseball was the main thing. The whole neighborhood, all the kids would get together and play baseball. It wasn't organized baseball as we know it today. It was just more or less the whole neighborhood would get together in the evenings and kids would go out and play baseball. Softball or whatever.
Where did you go to school? What was the classroom atmosphere like?
Well, when I started school, I went to Blaine Elementary School. Those classes contained around 15 to 20 children per class. By the time I got to high school, everything had there'd been a lot of population increase in that area, and the classrooms got to be much larger.
What was the discipline in these classrooms like?
Pretty much the way it is today, except that teachers were allowed to whip children and stuff, especially in the elementary.
Did you have any sex education classes while you were in school?
Not until I got to high school. Then very few.
Did the boys and girls act in different ways? Or was it enforced that they would act in different ways? Not together like they do today?
You mean as far as dress codes?
Yeah.
They had dress codes for girls and boys. Up until I was around junior high school or high school age, which was around probably 1949.
And then they had separate physical education classes? And
I take that back. It wouldn't have been 49. It would have been about 1950 or 51.
In physical education classes, weren't they separated back then, too?
Yes, all the way through school, they were separated.
What was dating like when you were a kid? Where did you go on a date?
Usually to a Saturday afternoon matinee or something like that until we got to high school. And then dating generally consists of school dances or drive-in movies or something to that effect.
What did your family do for vacation or recreation?
We did a lot of camping, a lot of fishing, a lot of hunting, stuff like that.
Where did you meet your wife?
In Salt Lake City, Utah.
When was that?
Was that around 1964.
What was the wedding like?
Well, it was Greek Orthodox services. We were married in a Greek Orthodox church. Georgia, my wife, was Greek Orthodox. I was an LDS. We held the services in the Greek Orthodox church.
Are their weddings any different than any other churches?
Yes, quite different. They have a quite separate ceremony. It was a big wedding. We had a lot of family, a lot of friends there.
How many children do you have? Where were they born?
We have three children. They were all born in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Can you give their names?
Huh?
Can you give their names?
Their names is David Carl Walton II, Vicki Joanne Walton, Matthew Carl Walton.
Were you advised on any sort of family planning by the doctors or anything?
Yes, as a matter of fact, all the children was born cesarean, and the doctor advised that George did not have any more children after Matthew. At the time he was born, you had to sign a bunch of forms and stuff and go through quite a deal with the doctors to get the okay to have George's tubes tied so she could not become pregnant anymore.
But just basic birth control was just sort of general knowledge back then? Like everybody knew about it?
Yeah, it was, back then it was pretty general knowledge.
Can you tell me what your first job was and what were the conditions of the job?
The first job that I had was a summer job working construction on building roads, curb and gutter, sidewalk, stuff like that, and I was more or less a general helper. The hours were as long as they needed you. The pay, I believe, was around $1 an hour, which was good pay at that time. But there was no set working hours. You worked as long as that they had work to do. You went to work and they had no work that particular day, you went home, there was no compensation or anything for it.
Can you tell me a couple more of your jobs up after, to your present?
After that time, I worked summer jobs till I went in the military. I was in the military for 2 years on active duty in the U.S. Army. I volunteered for the draft immediately upon graduation from high school. I spent 2 years in Fort Lewis. My job in the military was driving a 106 recoilless rifle, which was Jeep mounted, and I drove the Jeep. After I got out of the military, I came back to Salt Lake City and went to work for U.S. Smelting, Refining, and Mining. That was a union job. There was no right to work at that time, so when I went to go there, the union approached me, and you had to join the union, which I did at that time, and worked there for around 6 months as a general helper, and a bid came up for a what they called a head repairman, which was the top repairman. He got 50 cents a day more than the other repairmen, which are known today as mechanics, but back then they were called repairmen. I bid the job. Nobody else bid on the job. However, they had plans of another person taking the job, but he forgot to bid it. At that time, the union and the company had quite a to-do over me getting that job, not only because of my age, but no experience, and we won out, and that's how I got in the mechanical trade to start with. There was no apprenticeships or anything back then. You just bid the job, and it was more or less on the job training. I held that job for 11 years. Around that time the lead and zinc industry in the United States was going down rapidly, and they closed that operation up. At that time, I went to work for Mountain States Bolt, Nut, and Screw Company as their shop foreman for the manufacture of bolts, and stayed with that job for approximately 6-7 months, and left because for pay reasons. I went to work for NL Industries out at Raleigh, Utah. They had a new magnesium operation in that area. They manufactured magnesium, chlorine, hydrochloric acids, sulfuric acids, and stuff like that. I worked for them for 3 years. After 3 years, I had a job offer to go to Stauffer Chemical. A good friend of mine was a maintenance superintendent there, and I went to work there, and I only worked there for approximately 6 months, and had a job offer with Utah Power and Light at Kemmer, Wyoming. At that time, I transferred to Utah Power and Light, and I have now been here 10 years working for Utah Power and Light in Kemmer, Wyoming.
Were any of these jobs ever dangerous that you worked on?
The one at U.S. Smelting, we had a fatality while I worked there. A operator got his arm caught in a belt. One arm was severed just above the elbow. The other arm was pulled out right out of the shoulder socket through a conveyor belt, and that was a fatality. Shortly after I left National Lead, they had a chlorine pump blow up, and it killed 2 people and injured 4. One was a supervisor out there, so I would say they was probably hazardous jobs. NL Industries had chlorine gas almost daily. Someone got gassed at that job.
Were you ever injured on any of your jobs?
Yes, at U.S. Smelting, I had my fingers caught in a belt, and it went through a pulley, severed 2 fingers, broke a hand in 6 places, the same hand. It was on my left hand.
Were you sent to a company doctor?
Yes, I was. I was sent to a company doctor who was not there at the time, so they took me on to the emergency room in Murray, Utah for treatement.
Did the company help with compensation for time lost?
At that time, the company did not help with compensation. Workman's compensation carried it. And all of the benefits was paid through workman's compensation.
Were you ever laid off? If you were, how did you survive during this period?
I was never laid off, but at U.S. Smelting, for approximately the last year I worked for them, we worked 3- and 4-day work weeks. And it was hard to survive. It was hard to pay the bills and stuff.
Do you belong to a union?
I belong to the IBEW Local 57 at this time. I have belonged to the United Steel Workers. I've belonged to the Oil and Chemical Workers. And like I say now, I belong to the IBEW Local 57, of which local I am on the executive board of that local, serving my second in that capacity.
Why did you join the union?
I joined the union initially because there was no right to work, and they came and approached me that time, I had no choice. However, I have feelings about that because I think the unions have made the wages available to make a fair living. And I'm pro-union, and I think that a person, if they're getting the benefits, should pay their fair share.
What are these union meetings like attendance and stuff like that?
Attendances at union meetings vary with the time of the year and what issues are involved, the ones that I've attended. I attend all the ones of my local, and I attend all of the ones that I'm available for the international part of it, too. The local attendance, like I say, varies depending on the issues. If there's a contract due to vote on, they usually have 90 to 100% attendance. If it's just a regular scheduled union meeting, you're lucky to have 5%.
Are non-whites and women welcome in all these unions that you're in?
All local unions are for everyone. Women, minorities, everyone. All jobs negotiated on are negotiated on the job, not the person doing the job.
Were you ever part of a union drive or ever out on strike?
I was out on strike on two occasions. I was one of the lead organizers for the United Steelworkers Union when they organized NL Industries.
Were these strikes at NL Industries?
No, the strikes were at U.S. Smelting. One was at U.S. Smelting and one was at NL Industries.
Can you give me the dates and the issues of the strike?
I can't remember the dates. The issues on the U.S. Smelting strike was we was in a contract and it was trying to get vested rights for pensioners. That means that people, if they had 20 or more years, would not be laid off without a pension. That was the issue with that strike. The strike at NL Industries was concerning organizing after they'd had the vote and they was organized and they was ready to sit down and negotiate. The people would not negotiate. That strike was short-lived.
Approximately how long were each of these strikes?
The one with U.S. Smelting was a long strike. I believe it was 9 months. The one with NL Industries was only just 2 days.
Did you win these strikes?
Yes, both issues was resolved to the satisfaction of the rank and file membership of the union.
Why do you think that you did win the strikes?
Well, I think there was moral issues, and I think that the company could see there was moral issues and finally came around and agreed with us on what the issues were.
Was there any violence during any of these strikes?
No, none.
Did you keep any scabs out of work? Did you let them cross the picket lines?
There was no one cross the picket lines on either strike, except management.
How did you keep these scabs out, or were they just not there?
They were not there to start with.
Were conditions any better after the strike? Or?
I would say yes, they were better. They certainly were not any worse.
Overall, do you think that the unions have improved the quality of the workers' lives?
I think they've definitely improved the quality of the workers' lives.
What political party do you support and why?
I support the Democratic Party, and the reason I support the Democratic Party is seems to be a more liberal party. It's more for the working people on their voting records. They have a better voting record for the labor laws than the Republicans do. And that's the main reason that I support the Democratic Party.
Can you remember when you first voted?
Yes, I do. I was 21 years old. It was not a presidential election. It was voting for just local candidates. I voted Democratic in that election.
Who did you vote for?
I don't recall at this time. Like I say, it was just a mayoral election. And the first president I voted for, I remember, was John F. Kennedy.
Why do you vote? I mean, what's your reason for voting?
My reason for voting is for representation that believe in my beliefs. As far as my stand on the issues being labor issues and Social Security and workman's compensation and black lung and things like that there, I'll vote for the candidates to support those type of issues. Better education, things like that. And the Democratic Party, as far as I'm concerned, have supported those type of issues.
Who was the most famous politician that ever come into the area that you were in?
The most famous politician that come into the area that I was in, I think, was John F. Kennedy. There was several that came there, presidents, but John F. Kennedy was probably one that I supported and recall the most. There were several others. Calvin Rampton, which was, I believe, a three-term governor for the state of Utah. My mother was a registrar for the Democratic Party, and he was in our home.
Who is your favorite politician since you can remember?
For doing the most for the issues involved, is what you mean?
Yeah, why is he your favorite candidate?
Well, I would have to say that one of my favorite candidates was probably Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I think that he turned the economy around and the jobs and stuff around in the United States and got us moving in the right direction out of a depression.
What was the average campaign like back then? Is it different quite a bit from today?
Yeah, there was no television media. There was a lot of volunteer work. For instance, one I remember most was Eisenhower when he was running, and of course I was just a child, but on the street corners they had people passing out buttons and banners and stuff. I like Ike buttons because I remember we were just children, and boy, we had probably thousands of I like Ike buttons that we got from the street corner people that would just pass them out freely. And I remember going home and catching hell from my mother for having Republican buttons.
Were you ever an active party member?
Yeah, I'm an active party member now. I belong to the Century Club in Utah and a few other things for the Lincoln County Democrat Association. We attend one of their fundraisers, my wife and I.
What were conditions like during World War II?
in the first place, World War II, I was only around 5 or 6 years of age, but I remember the rationing stamps and things like that. Everything was rationed to the people. And that's all I remember.
Do you think your family fared better than the other families? Or?
My father was gone. He was in the service.
So you were pretty much just below average for what other families were?
I'd say we were probably average for other families.
What's your best memory of Lincoln County since you've lived here?
My best what?
Memory.
Before all of the oil exploration and stuff, yeah. Before we started timbering up in Hams Fork area and places like that.
What's the biggest change in this country since you were young?
Well, I'd say probably one of the major things is the accessibility to automobiles and stuff like that that the younger people have.
What do you think the future holds for this country?
Well, this country is going to have to go to technical type country because the other countries are producing metals and stuff like that a lot cheaper than we are and anything else. So it's going to have to be in technology as far as electronic stuff and all types of sophisticated technology.
Would you like to leave any words for your grandchildren?
No.
Okay, thank you.